This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. We will do our best to entertain you over the next 3 hours with a plethora of great guests, information, and maybe some entertainment. Mr. Durham, how are you?
Holy smokes, do we have a full show today. Really? This is as full as the tank has been for a show, right?
I agree.
Let's see. Mike Barber will be here from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Monica McNutt, Joe Lenardi, Camilla Cardozo, Jay Billis, and Tyler Hansbrough will be here as well. All before we're done at 10 o'clock. Is that enough today? You think we can get through this? Are we going to be all right?
I think we can squeeze it all in. We're going to try to. We got games to talk about. ACC Women's Tournament is underway in Greensboro. Yeah. We got four games going on there. We had games of note yesterday and last night. We're going to talk a little bubble action with Joe Lenardi. We set you up for the weekend coming up. There's other sports happening. And like I said, we'll take phone calls if you'd want to jump on board at 844-SAY-ACCN. That's the deal.
Okay. While you were working yesterday afternoon, and Virginia and High Point were kind enough to, you know, not run terribly far past 5 o'clock. We were able to get ACC basketball's triple header started.
Wait a minute.
Excuse me.
Did it run late? Did it? I don't know.
Yes.
The lacrosse game ran late.
Yes, it did.
Well, you know what? It's funny.
Yes, it did.
Because I saw Virginia score like two goals in the first 75 seconds. And I'm like, well, that'd be a high-scoring game, but surely they'll be good to go by five. Because I didn't have a chance to watch it all, because obviously we were busy with this other thing we do in the afternoons.
So it ran late. We were just a smidge. Just a smidge.
Did Elliot Avent send a note?
And Paul Carcaterra tried like crazy to get it done. No, we didn't hear from Elliot.
Did Elliot send a note?
Of course, Elliot was making pitching changes the other day in the eighth inning. No, he did not.
I was going to say, did he make a call to Lars Tiffany and go, hey, could you guys move it on? I mean, Weston and the boys are ready to roll at five sharp. I did not know you guys ran late.
No word from Lars. No word from Lars.
But at least it was a W.
No. So.
W, though.
Well, and the interesting thing was, yes, it was for High Point, or for Virginia, rather, beating High Point. Top 20 match yesterday in lacrosse right here on ACC Network. Panthers. Anish Roth and Paul Carcaterra got it to the house, got it to Chris Patola and I, who were at the Dome, and the dragging of the end of the lacrosse game carried over to the drag at the beginning of Syracuse and Clemson because both teams were stone cold from the floor to start the game. In fact, it was 25-22 at halftime. And then the Orange exploded, principally behind Alan Griffin and Buddy Boeheim, to win 64-54 in the second half. Clemson never really seemed to get into any kind of offensive rhythm yesterday. Orange finished the season 13-1 at home. The only loss that come from behind victory by Pittsburgh. The Syracuse finish here at home, Pack, ends their regular season in conference play at 9-7 and 15-8, and they'll wait and see kind of how they fall perhaps Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, but more than likely Wednesday in Greensboro.
Yeah, we'll talk to Joe Lenardi about seems like an annual tradition, Syracuse on the bubble, right? Just seems like we talk about it every single year. But, you know, the good news, though, for the Orange is on Monday against North Carolina, you had to win the game, and you did. Wednesday, short turnaround, playing Clemson, you had to win the game, and you did. So they absolutely helped themselves big time this week. Now, they'll put their feet up unless there's another rescheduled game, and who knows after the cancellation of Virginia Tech and NC State. I don't know how that's going to play out. But nevertheless, if you're Syracuse, you did yourself some good this week. Now, did you do enough to get on the right side of the bubble? Yep. Probably not, but you probably knew that going into it. That, hey, we're going to have some kind of run in the ACC tournament and knock some folks off. So the scene is kind of set for the Orange and Jim Boeheim as they prepare for next week's ACC tournament in Greensboro.
You know, Pac, the interesting part about this is that Syracuse finishes with a 562 winning percentage in the league. Right now they are eighth, so they got to feel pretty good about where they are. Duke and NC State are tied for ninth, at 9-8. But the Orange is in the house. They're one of three teams that are done for the regular season. We'll touch on that in just a second. But more than likely, I think they're going to – I mean, I'm sitting here, and you and I were both kind of comparing rabbit hole numbers with math, and Drew Brooks has been doing some too. I mean, Syracuse at 562. If Duke wins their 10-8, they would be 555. That would be still ahead or behind Syracuse. So I think the Orange gets to Wednesday and doesn't have to play Tuesday at the ACC.
Yeah,
is this too early for me to do this for you?
No, it's not. It's funny because I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep 15 minutes last night, and so it's funny. I was working on the double bye scenarios, and I've got literally every scenario known to man for the double bye when we get to that point today. So, but yeah, this will all take care of itself. But as of today, this moment, Cuse is done, Virginia Tech is done, and probably NC State is done, unless something happens, right? I mean, who knows? We keep saying it's almost impossible to deal with schedules. You got to worry about, if you're at breakfast, you worry about lunch. I've been saying that for a year now. Who knows if something reappears out of thin air and there's another game that's rescheduled, but it appears that Virginia Tech is the one for sure, given the COVID situation, the contact tracing. They've got to get healthy and good to go because the Hokies are locked and loaded for the double bye next week. That is a given.
Right, because, yeah, they finished. They're done. Obviously, the game this week and this weekend now has been canceled, the Virginia Tech-NC State game. We're going to get more from Mike Barber coming up on this. But the Hokies are done at 9-4 and 15-5, 692 winning percentage, and they are third in the ACC. And that won't move. The only thing that can happen is potentially they would finish in a tie, right?
Well, they could drop
to
four.
They could finish tied with Louisville. Is that right?
And Louisville gets the tiebreaker with a head-to-head. So, I mean, if Louisville beats Virginia.
Right. But they still get the double bye is my point.
Yeah,
they still get the double bye.
There's three teams guaranteed locked and loaded for the double bye. Florida State, Virginia Tech. Who gets that last spot depends on a lot of combinations, which will begin on Friday with Georgia Tech, who needs to win and then hope Louisville loses to Virginia. Mm-hmm. If that happens, the Jackets going to get the fourth spot. But there's a way for North Carolina. There's a way for Clemson. There's a way for Louisville. There's a way for Georgia Tech to get into the double bye. But there's a gazillion combinations, and we won't bother you on a Thursday morning at 7:07 going through all those. But there's still a number of teams at play for that double bye spot. But there's three that are locked and loaded. Florida State, Virginia Tech are good to go, that you won't see those guys till Thursday of next week.
Yeah, there you go. We will get to NC State's fifth straight win and Florida State's domination of Boston College on senior night coming up. But yesterday afternoon, prior to the start of Clemson and Syracuse, the announcement came from the Atlantic Coast Conference that this weekend's Virginia Tech-NC State game was going to be taken off the boards. Combine that with the Hokies losing the Louisville game from last night, Pack. And now all of a sudden, Virginia Tech is done. The question now falls, where are the Hokies in the contact tracing calendar? And does it impact their appearance in the ACC tournament next week in Greensboro? And beyond that, can Virginia Tech get to a point with clearance where they're able to go to the NCAA tournament and get all Tier 1 participants? Here we go, all Tier 1 participants, seven consecutive negative tests.
I am no doctor, and I have no inside information, as you well know. But we said this yesterday. I think Donna called us yesterday morning and asked this question, and the answer is we don't know when the tracing began. And that's how you got to work on this thing, and then you go seven days, and there may be some protocol at the tail end of that as well. But you just hope that that's all there is to it, right? I mean, you just hope that there's not an additional spread and all that great stuff. And in some respects, Virginia Tech not playing any games this week probably is a blessing in disguise in terms of the big picture. They were already in a good spot as far as the double bye was concerned, even though they missed out on some games of note with like Florida State and North Carolina, the games this week with Louisville and a road trip to NC State. Those were all difficult games. They could have lost them all. Could have won them all. Who knows? We're never going to know. But what we do know is as of this second, Virginia Tech's got the double bye, which means best case scenario is you won't see them till Thursday of next week. It's a Thursday right now. We're talking about a week away. It would seem to me there is ample time for all of this to be cleared up in a green light special for the Hokies. But again, that's not an official word from Virginia Tech, much less our show. So we're just purely speculation at this point. But my gut tells me that unless something crazy is another outbreak, I think Virginia Tech would be good to go for next week. Be my guess.
Yeah, be good to go in terms of players and coaches. Now, would it be the full cast? I don't know that.
Yeah,
and then they would slowly integrate people potentially. We'll see how it goes, right?
Right, exactly right. This is going to be a storyline not only within this league. It will be a storyline everywhere we go moving forward. And I think this is now, 37 games I read yesterday for the ACC that have been either postponed or canceled. We've had 9 of those rescheduled.
Right.
That's a big number. But, you know, we kind of expected it. And you knew before the season started the combination of, hey, we're going to go play 20 conference games, and you knew that was a pipe dream. Like, hey, if we get to 20, man, we should all throw a party and then some. But, you know, the numbers are going to be all over the place. Virginia Tech's going to end up at 9-4 in league play, 13 games. Hey, you know what? That's why that winning percentage is the basically the tiebreaker, not necessarily wins and losses per se. So we'll see what we get, Wes. Yeah. You know, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. Let's just be thankful for whatever we do get next week in Greensboro.
Yeah, let's spend I will say this, and I don't want to get away from this because I know we're going to travel to some other subjects here along the way, and we'll get Joe Lunardi in bubble status for Syracuse and Duke and all this worked out. But a moment on the orange here. Pac doing what they had to do this week to put themselves in a position to create the March storyline that's probably come too much of a tradition for some Syracuse fans, but winning against Carolina and beating Clemson, best home record in 9 years. And, oh, by the way, here we go with the bubbling again for Syracuse and where they are. Bottom line is a nice week for Jim Boeheim's team to close the regular season.
100%. Because if you go 0-2 against North Carolina and Clemson, your only means to get to the dance is to win it all in Greensboro. Now, we'll find out where Lenardi puts them. You got to figure the wind's got them closer to the bubble. I just don't know if they're on the right side of the bubble, but they gave themselves a chance, Wes. And I think at this point in time in the season, after the loss in Atlanta last weekend to Georgia Tech, if you ask Jim Boeheim, hey, what's the best case scenario? Well, the best case scenario is exactly what happened. Found a way to beat North Carolina and held on and took care of business yesterday against Clemson. And it's all you could ask for. And so now you take your medicine, you move on, and see where this bad boy goes. They know they're going to have to win at least a couple games next week. At least a couple to get in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Joe Lunardi said yesterday on our broadcast that not only do they have to beat Clemson, but then they probably have to throw, as you just mentioned, a couple on the fire to even get into the conversation with a 4-game win streak. So we'll see who they draw and what their map is next week in Greensboro. We'll probably have it finalized somewhere along the lines of Saturday night about 8:30, to be honest with you. So, interesting show coming up. We told you Mike Barber will be here. Monica McNutt to help us kind of break apart the second round day of the ACC Women's Basketball Championship that starts at noon at the Coliseum in Greensboro. Joe Lunardi's here. Camilla Cardozo, who we visited with yesterday, just a delightful young lady who's the ACC Freshman of the Year from Syracuse. Jay Billis and Tyler Hansbrough. And you may be thinking, well, why is Tyler Hansbrough here?
Anniversary.
Well, today's a little anniversary of sorts.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Maybe one of the most memorable plays of the last 25 years in ACC basketball, Pac?
Probably, given the stature of the game that was taking place, and it's normally shades of blue, and that particular day had a shade of red associated with it. And but we'll break that down, no pun intended, with Tyler coming up in the third hour there. The power.
Nice.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Big win for Syracuse yesterday. They had to win it. They did. Now they get ready for the ACC tournament. And another team right now that is living large. I remember that question. Is anybody going 5 in a row? Well, Clemson did. Georgia Tech did. And so did the NC State Wolfpack. Wes, ever since Devin
on,
Daniels
Pack.
Went down.
Let's go.
Dude, they've been balling. Pack Wolfpack in the house now.
Let's
get the
go.
Dave Doran syrup out.
Wolfpack in the house.
Only thing sweeter
the
than a five-game winning streak right. is to put some of that Dave Doran syrup on the Wolfpack right now. Man, they are really balling. they went to Notre Dame and
yeah,
went,
they
hey,
are.
We own the road. NC State goes on the road now, man. They're like, hey, we own this joint. There was no big deal last night. This was easy. They made this look easy last night.
Yeah. Yeah, Jericho Helms, he passed on the ice cream. He had a brownie after the ball game. Everybody else was getting ice cream. Especially Cam Hayes. What a performance last night. Career high 20 for the young freshman Cam Hayes. But look at Hayes go to work here. The star of the night, and I'm telling you now, this is the one that's it's the one getting a little scary right here. Number one, Darion Sebron. The redshirt freshman from over in the Tidewater area had a big ball game last night. 17 points, 13 rebounds for the Wolfpack last night. Young man that Kevin Keats was excited about, kind of had the academic redshirt a season ago and has come on nicely now, especially in about the last 10 days, Pack. Look at that, a little crossover and a Euro to the hoop. And got by Goodwin there and scored easily. This is a very encouraging sign, I think, for Kevin Keats with Sebron's emergence.
The thing that's the most encouraging sign, Wes, and I've said this probably 10 times, this team could have just said, hey, no, we're done. We're good. We'll catch you in Greensboro. I mean, again, that would have been the easy way out. They have really played good basketball. And I know people are going to yell, oh, who are they
sure
beating? Hey, they've beaten who's on the schedule. That's who they've beaten. That includes a road trip to Virginia. I don't see a lot of folks rolling into Charlottesville walking out there looking for an ice cream order. So, you know, you play who's on this year's schedule. That's who NC State's beaten, and they've won five straight. And to be able to do it on the road, and I know there's not anybody in these places, but it doesn't matter. You still got to take your energy on the road and find a way to win. I'm impressed with the way State's closed this thing out. And, you know, I know they're going to be bummed out they don't get a chance to play this weekend as of right now because they're going to schedule to play Virginia Tech. And that could have been a really important game as far as the double bye was concerned and all that stuff. But if you're Kevin Keats, man, you can't get enough games on the schedule right now with the way this team is engaged. They're excited. They're playing hard and they're playing well. And the flip side of this is Notre Dame is doing everything that we just did not say, right? The Irish have hit a wall and have looked as dead as doorknobs. I mean, they have done nothing for 2 weeks other than get beat. And NC State's the exact opposite. So two teams heading truly in opposite directions as we get ready to head to Greensboro next week.
By the way, the five-game win streak in the ACC for NC State is their longest since the days of Julius Hodge.
Herb Sendek in the house. But that.
The Jules from Harlem on his way to stardom. That's him.
Yeah. But you know, but if
How
you're an
that?
NC State fan, I mean, as goofy as this year was, right? I mean, goodness gracious. They got off to a good start, the St. Louis game in December.
Yep.
They rescheduled and lost that thing. But yet, you know, I go back to that game they had at Clemson where they really were in control of the game when they get away. And then they just kind of disappeared off the map between COVID and losing. And it looked like NC State just kind of dissipated into whatever. We don't remember them. And, man, all of a sudden, Devin Daniels goes down and NC State said, hey, let's man up and go play. Forget it. Let's just go play.
Yep.
So if you're Kevin Keats at NC State, Wolfpack Nation, man, you got to be thrilled to death with the way this team's responded and just the momentum heading into who knows what happens in the postseason. I mean, who knows how many teams are showing up in Greensboro? Hopefully everybody. But I tell you what, whoever gets NC State in the draw, good luck. I don't care what the number is beside your name. NC State's going to be excited to play you.
Pack, I don't know that we have an answer to this, by the way, but is there a declaration deadline for Greensboro?
I have no idea.
I mean, you know, is it? I don't either. I don't know that I've heard that. We may have to find that out maybe before Monday, but I would guess that at some point you got to get there. There's a deadline for teams to get there, even if you don't play till, say, Thursday. But nonetheless, NC State's on a great, great roll. And you bring up an interesting point. If you're Kevin Keats, do you try to find a game to you know, play somebody this weekend, even if you got to play them over there in Reynolds Coliseum while the ladies are down in Greensboro?
I would.
Playing at the women's tournament?
I mean, I think their guys right now are so fired up. Because, I mean, when you're on a roll, man, you don't want to stop. You want to keep playing, especially it's March.
Right.
You know, and let's be honest, NC State, to get to the postseason, I mean, it's going to have to do something crazy in Greensboro because their resume is not going to be strong enough as we sit here today. But you don't care about that right now. What you care about is, hey, let's go play another game. Hey, we're balling. Who wants a piece of us? Right? I mean, that's the mindset. And good for them. They have earned it. So I'm excited for NC State and their fans and everything else because they are finishing strong. Georgia Tech's on a run. NC State's on a run. Clemson was until they got hit the cold spell yesterday. But those teams, I think they're all going to roll in the Greensboro going, hey, cool, let's go play. We got a chance.
Maybe we can help Kevin Keats find a game.
You got a game this afternoon at 12, maybe, don't Kevin, you? You got a game today at 12, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's different. It's a different kind of game.
Oh.
It's not a basketball game. It's a peg in the ground game.
I hear you.
Here's one for you. I mean, Kevin Keats played up at Ferrum in Virginia. They're probably done. They're Division II. You just want to play somebody, right? I mean, you're not looking for the net or anybody here, are you?
Well, you know.
Call the Panthers. Call Ferrum. See what's up, coach.
How about go play Syracuse for a third time? I mean, Syracuse is done.
Oh, wow. Really?
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. The Orange pretty banged up now. Dolezal, Richmond, Guerrier, they were all banged up. I mean, Josh McCrew was over there, toes and fingers crossed yesterday.
Hey, they need wins. I'm just saying, if you're desperate enough to play a game, I mean, there's two guys sitting there on the couch on a Friday night. What are you doing Saturday? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Now let's go play. I mean, we've had Wake Forest in North Carolina.
You've got to come to North Carolina eventually. Why not come early?
Well, I mean, you're heading down our way anyhow. Just come on by. We'll grab some barbecue sandwiches and go play a third. You guys are beating us twice. Let's see if we can't get you guys once. I mean, hey, listen, if you want to play, play. Right? If you want to play, play. If you don't,
that's then, where we are.
Go get a dog.
That's where we are. Before we get to the break, Mike Barber coming up real quick. Let's go to Tallahassee last night. I made a note here. It was 17-16, Florida State with 13 minutes left to go in the first half, and the difference at the break was 28. The Noles just slapped one off. They finished the regular season with a 25-game ACC home win streak. They're one shy of Duke's record when they start next year. MJ Walker, a nice senior night with 18 points. By the way, Jay Heath,
our guy,
friend of the show,
right.
28 for the Eagles in a losing effort.
Right, he does.
For those of you that have thought that the Packer and Durham appearances are not productive, wrong.
That's exactly what I wrote down.
Jay Heath went for 28 last night. But Florida State gets the win, 93-63. Is the 93-64 the final last night?
Wes, here are my notes from this game. Jay Heath interview /28. That's exactly what I wrote down.
Right.
Florida State 25 straight at home. MJ Walker 0 for 0 from the free throw line. He's stuck at 85%. I went 0 for 6 on the Powerball last night, and I'm now at 86% inaccuracy heading into the weekend. It's gotten tight. And here's the other thing. 14 different dudes scored for Florida State last night. Would you like to see them?
Yeah, sure did.
Would you like to see them? Because here they come.
I think we can, can't we? Oh, here we go. Raekwon Gray. Let's see who we got there. Polite, Anthony Polite. MJ Walker on senior night. Boom, good. Scotty Barnes. Bang. Is this Sadar Calhoun? Sure it is. Bang. That's Raekwon Gray again. Oh, that's Harrison Prieto, the meteorologist. Oh, behind the back, Balsha, Koprivica. Oh, and Linder. There you have it. That's all you need. How about that? Way to go. Well done. Everybody gets a shirt. Everybody wins a prize. Everybody gets a basket. 29-point difference, 15 guys in the books.
MPI 100%, I said yesterday, and it's not that BPI only 93%. I told you. I mean, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
Please get that nonsense out of here. 100%. All Notre right. Dame, by the All way, right. Notre Dame will We're get a chance to play Florida State this yes. weekend.
Okay.
You want that number?
Maybe you tomorrow you can tomorrow? Give us the MPI on that.
I'll give you the MPI on that whenever you're yeah, ready please. For it. Just let me know when you're ready for
tomorrow
it.
Tomorrow would be fine.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Thursday. A lot of stuff happening. I mean, a bunch of stuff's going down. ACC Women's Tournament underway. We'll get in all that stuff. Monica McNutt will join us coming up in about a half an hour or so. But right now, Mr. Durham, Mike Barber from the Richmond Times-Dispatch yes, joins us, makes his debut, does a great job. He and Teal rocking and rolling. They got a podcast, by the way. Did you know that? They got a podcast. Told you. Everybody's got a podcast.
Hey, well, like you said, everybody's got a podcast.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah. A lot of podcasts out there. Mike, and did y'all record a podcast yesterday right before the news broke, Barber? Is that the way that worked for you guys?
Yeah. Guys, you know the drill. We recorded the podcast just so that there could be breaking schedule news and our podcast could be added. It's kind of been the theme every week. It feels like we have an episode that's immediately negated.
Welcome to the 10:05 club. I know we kid around forever that, you know, just wait. The show would end. We'd say, hey, in 5 minutes, I promise you there will be breaking news. They will hold out and give it to you live 5 minutes after the show ends. So we know the feeling when it comes to all that stuff. Speaking of knowing the feeling, Virginia Tech not playing a game is kind of knowing the feeling, isn't it? I mean, it's really been a bizarre year from the football and hoops. And here we go as we get ready for an ACC men's tournament next week. And there's still unknowns regarding the Hokies.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned football, and I talked to a lot of basketball coaches during football season. And they said, hey, I don't know how these guys are going to get through it in basketball with a smaller roster. And guys, that's exactly what's played out here. And, you know, the interesting thing at Virginia Tech is, for the longest time, they didn't have a player test positive. They had COVID contact tracing issues. Now, we don't know the specifics of this latest outbreak or issue, but, you know, for the longest time, this team went without a positive COVID player, but they had contact tracing from staff, managers, support, and it doesn't take much right now to take you off the court.
You know, Mike, it's interesting you bring it up because I had a coach outside the ACC footprint say that, you know, hey, let's be honest, we're probably the bigger problem. The student athletes of the respective sports have been isolated. They go through their routine, their, you know, gym to dorm, apartment, whatever it may be. Most of the classes, if not all the classes, are online. He said, more than likely, somehow or another, we might be the carriers, or somebody else in Tier 1 outside that isolation pack might be the carrier to bring the contact tracing back in on a positive test. And that's kind of the rub in the road, which is also pretty scary when you think about now how's this Tier 1 going to handle postseason. And as I mentioned, the pack, Mike Young's got to think about he's got to have seven straight negatives to go to Indianapolis. That's the other part on the backside of this. Everybody's talking about Greensboro. First thing I thought of yesterday was Indianapolis.
Yeah, you know, guys, it's been interesting to hear the coaches talk about, does it make sense to go to Greensboro? Does it make sense to have a conference tournament? And, you know, I think it's an easy answer. If you're one of the teams that's like kind of 6 through 15, you want to have a tournament in Greensboro. And if you're one of the teams that's maybe 1 through 5, you're wondering, are we crazy? What's the point of this? I think we want to have a fun event in Greensboro. It's such a great tournament. But at the end of the day, you're right. How many ACC teams are invited to the NCAA tournament? And then can you get them all to Indianapolis? Can you get them all on the floor? That's the goal. That's been the goal really since we all packed up our bags and left Greensboro last year. The goal has been, hey, can you get to March? Can you get to the NCAA tournament this year?
Mike, while we don't know how this will play out, let's talk about what we do know. What we do know is that Mike Young and Virginia Tech basketball this year have had an amazing season. I mean, based on expectations going into it versus what you've actually watched on the floor, I mean, it's nothing short of spectacular, the job Mike Young has done in a really short period of time.
Yeah, really impressive. And Mark, you know, going into the year, they were picked to finish 11th. I was high on them and thought they had a chance to finish 8th. That was my brilliant kind of projection. And here they are, in third, fourth contention all year and a chance to be the double bye. It really is amazing what Mike Young has done. And he's done on the defensive end. When you talk to the other coaches, yeah, Kevin Aluma's been great. Yeah, they've had some players who've really added to their front court, their depth, their experience. But the difference in Virginia Tech this year is the connected way they're playing that man-to-man defense. I had somebody describe it as it's a mix of UVA's pack line and Florida State's getting out and after you athletic attack. And what a great description and what a great way to play defense. They're disruptive and they don't make it easy for you to finish at the rim.
Mike, though, here's the thing that is, and I guess I'm looking at it from a historical perspective. For Virginia Tech, and certainly, you know, they've had moments. 2 years ago, Buzz Williams, you know, great run, right? No doubt. Now Mike Young's come in. Does this feel like there's a lot more stability about what's going on as opposed to, you know, hey, look, we're just kind of flashing, if you will?
Yeah, you know, Buzz Williams was one of the best X's and O's coaches I've ever covered. His ability to game plan, a winning game plan, to adjust at halftime, the things he did were amazing. And I think Mike Young's right up there. But the difference here is Buzz always felt a little bit like the circus, right? He came into town, he set up the tents, you heard the music, you saw the show. It was great, but you knew he was going to pack up the circus and he was going to go on to the next town. And that's fine. There's a lot of guys like that. Mike Young, you know, he feels like he's, I don't mean to make him sound boring, but he feels like he's setting up the town library, right? Brick and mortar. You know, he's from here. He was going to be in Blacksburg. So, you know, he's not the carnival barker. He's a very different guy than Buzz. And it does feel like he's building something that can sustain.
Mike, let's talk, though, about when this team gets back to play again. And let's say, for argument's sake, it's a week from today, because I do think Virginia Tech's locked and loaded with a double bye, and we'll see them hopefully Thursday in Greensboro. The return of Radford, yeah, I think, is a really important piece moving forward. Number one, he's tough, he's got experience, can score, can defend, and it's another body. And I thought that when Virginia Tech lost him, they were still a good basketball team, but they're not nearly as good. Not nearly as good with Radford not anywhere to be found. But with him back and whole, and if this team is healthy and good to go next week, I think they could cause a problem, don't you?
Yeah. They're again, it starts with the defense, and Radford's a part of that. And if you go back and look a year ago, Tyrese Radford, he's so versatile. He can do a little bit of everything. And a year ago, Mike Young used him to kind of plug holes. Other coaches would dictate what was happening. They would set the lineups, and Tyrese Radford was – the chess piece that Mike Young could kind of move around to answer those moves. This year, with a deeper team, with Keve Aluma, with some size and some experience, I think Mike Young's been able to use Tyrese Radford to be the one who dictates. He's able to determine how other teams are going to defend them, how they're going to match up. You know, Radford is just so good all over. He crashes the glass, ability to get to the rim. He's a huge factor. Jalen Cohn's the other one, right? Out with the ankle now. Having him back could make a big
difference. Right. Yeah, that's the guy. To me, if you're going to go to Greensboro and you're going to win the thing, or if you're going to go to the NCAA tournament and move into weekend number two, let alone the Final Four, I think you've got to have a guy that's capable of going and becoming a powder keg. For me, Jalen Cohn's that guy for Virginia Tech. Cohn goes, he's Pac, I'll take you back in the way back here. He's Donald Williams. He goes into the NCAA tournament and all of a sudden starts making shots, and Virginia Tech's a whole different deal. Because Aluma becomes a better player, Radford, it just makes Virginia Tech a lot better, Mike, if they have that kind of luxury in any event, be it the ACC or the NCAA, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely, Wes. And if you look at Jalen Cohn, he's elevated his game this year. A year ago, he was one of the best catch-and-shoot guys in the ACC. You kick the ball to him on the wing, he's open, he's going to knock down a three-pointer for you, which is great. I'm not knocking that. But this year, with his ability to elevate, he's really added the ability to get his own shot. He comes off a screen, he can get that three up. You guard him one-on-one, he can step back. He can make a move. You worry about him driving, so maybe you play a little bit off and he can get that shot up so quickly. So he's become an all-around scorer, more than a catch-and-shoot guy. you know, the ankle injury was just devastating for this team. And getting him back, you know, we talk about getting a guy back. You get him back, but what kind of shape is he in? Because he's been in a boot, right? It's an ankle injury. He hasn't been running. He hasn't been on a stationary bike. So I think Jalen Cohn, if he comes back for the ACC tournament, it's to get his legs under him for Indianapolis.
All right, this is a Wes Durham slash David Teal special question, this one. Is Aluma first team all ACC?
I think absolutely, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. I thought he's in the run for player of the year. You know, there's been some guys that kind of tip the scale here when you look at Wright at Georgia Tech, heard at Duke, what they've done down the stretch. Aluma had a little bit of a fade. I think losing these two games really hurt him. But, yeah, I've got him right now on my first-team ballot.
All right. Mike, thank you for the time. However, we do have – Packer and I will not be in Greensboro, so we do have one word of caution. Let's don't have – since you do, you know, share strides with Coach Teal there, I want to make sure – David has a propensity, Mark, and I've noticed, to take things off walls in Greensboro around the media rooms and things like that. You know, so let's see if we can keep Teal from stealing signs and things like that. Don't you think, Pac?
Yeah, the word is thief is what I think the word is. Thief.
Well, I think as his junior staff member, he'll probably task me with stealing the stuff and then it'll go to his. He's got quite a collection.
There's no doubt about that. Keep up the good work, man. Good
you
to have
a
you
nice
on the show.
Whiteboard there. So, yeah. Thanks for being here, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. All right, Mike Barber covers Virginia Tech for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Now, Teal's taking stuff.
Man, thief.
Media
I told
floor
you
access. Sign.
There's a
all
word
right.
for it. Thief.
Thief. Okay, yeah. There is.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Oh, Thursday means accounting.
Yeah, it is.
You know it. Coming to social media near you. Yep. People who don't watch or listen will look at these lists and go, these guys, do they even know what a basketball is? It's coming our way.
That's exactly right.
We live for it every week.
Yeah.
You ready?
All right. I'll go first. But first, I'd like to offer a couple of caveats to my friends in Central New York because I had NC State above Syracuse last week.
I did, too.
I'd like to say welcome. I know you've been watching Packer and Durham this week. Yeah. Yeah. However, I was apparently the fodder of a lot because I just played it like it looked last week.
Hey,
a lot of people got their emotions on their sleeve and started, you know, making accusations and asking me to do things that are physically impossible.
Personal insults.
With
that,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's roll it out here, shall we? Last one of the old regular season right here. Here it is. Ho! Florida State 1, Virginia 2, Virginia Tech 3, Louisville 4, Georgia Tech 5. Yes, I know Georgia Tech beat Virginia Tech. Clemson 6, North Carolina 7, Duke 8, Syracuse 9. Yes, I know Syracuse beat Clemson. But Syracuse did beat NC State, so everybody in Central New York ought to be happy this week. Notre Dame, Pitt, Wake, Miami, and Boston College. The last five just don't change, Mr. Packer. I should have put Pitt ahead of Notre Dame. That's probably my fault. Daggone it. Oh, well, I'll live with that one.
I hate to disappoint you. I mean, I really, really hate to disappoint you. But mine are eerily similar. Eerily similar.
Really?
Of course. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to give you a Sweet 16. Florida State stays at 1.
I'll see you put Pitt ahead of Notre Dame, though, so that's good.
Well, yeah. I should because, you know, makes no sense. Florida State is 1. They stay there. Virginia's 2. They stay there. Virginia Tech didn't play. They stay right where they are at 3. Louisville bumped them up to 4 spot. They beat Duke. They got a big one with Wahoo Wah coming up this weekend. Jackets getting some love, like what they're doing. Big win against Duke. Took care of business in Syracuse. Clemson had an opportunity yesterday. Slipped. Tar Heels, hey, you know what? Sitting there at 7, lost to Syracuse, dropped you. I bumped the Cuse. I thought they showed me something beating North Carolina and Clemson. Right there and ranked in front of them. And if Syracuse fans, if you're going to scream, hey, we beat Clemson, North Carolina. Yeah, you did. You certainly did. But you know what? This is a body of work. This is not a snapshot of what you did in the last 28 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever. NC State rolling at 9. Only reason you're behind Cuse this week? Well, they did beat you twice. That was pointed out to us last week. Duke drops to 10. You can't go since the last time we saw you and expect it. Just because you got D-U-K-E written out there. Hey, you're 11 and 10. So that's why you are 10. Pitt 11, Notre Dame 12, the Swiss are 13, Miami 14, BC 15. That's kind of been an etched in stone here for a while. And number 16 this week, the Sweet 16, dental visits. But I will tell you, and I did that last night, the dental visit may get kicked to the curb this morning because now I'm going to have to go back to the knee specialist because I did not sleep last night. So I don't know. Dental visit, knee specialist, falling apart in March. Hey, say whatever you want. So there it is. Accounting for this week. They're similar,
Wes. How about
just
doctors in general?
See, I don't have a...
just doctors in general?
Yeah, but that's the last time I went to the knee specialist, they put the needle in my knee, and I felt great for 2.5 weeks. In the last 48 hours, I am in all kinds of pain. But I don't know what's going on. He said it could wear off. Boy. Apparently it does. So who knows, Wes? I'm afraid that I'm not going to get good news on the knee. So maybe the good news about going to see the knee specialist is I can bypass going to the dentist. I don't know. I'm a mess. Right now, I would describe how I feel kind of like the last, like Wake Forest and Boston College and Miami. It's kind of how I feel. It's just like, hey, can we get to the finish line? That's kind of how I feel. Can we just get there?
Right.
Right? Just nothing's easy.
I hear you.
Nothing's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got to get you keyed up, though. We got to get you ready.
I will be ready. I'm just in pain doing it. No, I will play hurt.
I understand. We got to get you ready.
I'll put some dirt on it.
Okay.
But the list are pretty similar.
You can also they are very similar. You can submit your own accounting. We encourage you to do so. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Put your 15 in order. Put it to us on Twitter. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. A couple of them will play a couple of the hits tomorrow on the show as we get down to the end of the regular season this weekend in the ACC. Two games tomorrow, and then I think it's what now? Four more on Saturday. To close the regular season. We had 5, now we're down to 4. So we go to the 8 o'clock hour. Monica McNutt will be here along with Joe Lenardi and Camilo Cardozo as well. So there you go.
Yep, but before we do that, though, before we get to all those great guests in hour 2, we're going to go to Ohio where a gentleman by the name of Roy wants to talk to us. So let's take the calls here. 844-SAY-ACCN. Roy in Ohio. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, right outside of C-Bus up here in Buckeye Land, but I'm an ACC through and through. I'm a Louisville fan. I want to talk about you guys as player of the year, top 5, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Okay, sure. Sure. Whatever you want.
Okay.
Sure.
We look at, of course, me being a Louisville fan, I'm pro Carlique Jones, and the other day when Seth Greenberg was on the show, Mark, I saw your expression when he rolled out Carlique Jones and you were sitting on Justin Champagne in your face. And your jaw dropped about 2 feet.
I was surprised. I was. I was surprised he said Carlique Jones. I mean, he should be in the conversation. Don't get me wrong. And he may win it for all I know. And we'll find out Monday when we make that announcement. But I didn't know where Seth was going to go. But I really didn't think he was going to say Carlique Jones. And again, the numbers that he justified, he's had a great year. And if he wins it, it'll be well earned.
Yeah. Right. So see that the other day when you guys were talking to me, it was yesterday, I was the caller that called in and told your girl to answer the phone that to let Wes know that Louisville beat Virginia Tech head to head earlier this year. So, but I wanted to call back and say, okay, when we played Pitt, Justin Champagne was out, but we won and Carlique played decent.
Right.
And then if you look at Keve Aluma, who you guys put out there, when we beat Virginia Tech, he didn't have such a great game, and Kerlik had a good game, and we won. So that's 1-0. Then we played Duke. Mm-hmm. We beat Duke twice. Now, Matthew Hurt had two good games, but so did Kerlik. And in that last game, you guys saw how he took over in overtime. And that was the reason we won. So now we're looking at 3-0 against the top five player of the year candidates. And then you put out there Georgia Tech. At the time when we played Georgia Tech, it was like a 1 or a 3 o'clock game in the afternoon. Felt like an NCAA game. And we ran those cats out of the gym. And Moses Wright almost had a triple-double. Now, he played great. But Kerlik played good also. And so now Carleek's looking at 4-0 against other guys in the league other than Justice Champagne. So that's where I stand on the Kerlik for player of the year candidate.
Well, I was going to pick Amir Sims, yeah. But no, you don't want to hear that.
That's good, Roy.
Roy, I was going to pick Amir Sims.
Come on, Roy. Oh, man.
Well, what was Kerlik against Amir? Now, listen, Kerlik has had a great year. And if he, like I said,
he's going to be first team all ACC.
Oh, no doubt. That's a given. But he could very well
win first team.
I don't know.
The player of the year, it's going to be hard. And there are going to be people disappointed. It's going to be a hard vote. Trust me. I'm telling you, it's a hard vote.
It's not that hard.
I mean, everybody he just rolled off is deserving. You don't think it's that hard?
I had no problem with it.
Okay.
I don't vote.
All right. We'll take a break.
I don't vote.
Huh?
I don't vote.
That part's been documented.
The easiest part is, let somebody else do the heavy lifting.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.